Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Help us to sit at the feet of your word. Help us to be encouraged in our faith, to be strengthened in what you have promised us to do, and not to be discouraged when our prayers don't seem to bear immediate fruit that we can recognize. We ask for your help in all these things. In the name of Christ, amen. So we've been in a series on prayer for the last 3 or 4 weeks now. And we looked at some of the just basic principles of prayer. And then we looked last week at what we might call the theology of prayer, which certain attributes of God raise questions in our mind about whether there's any point in praying. So, for example, if God already knows everything that we're going to pray for, then what's the point of praying? Or if God is unchanging, then how can we pray and expect anything to change? Or if God is sovereign, then how is it that our prayers can affect anything in terms of His plan? And as we dug into that, what we realized, I hope, is that these things are not, when we view them rightly, they're not discouragements to prayer. They're actually encouragements to prayer. They're the very foundations of what makes our prayers meaningful and powerful in God's hand. And so today we're going to look at another important issue, and that is the Bible seems to give some pretty amazing promises about God's willingness to answer prayer, His promises to do so. And yet, so often in our experience, we pray and we don't see a result. The thing we pray for, we don't see an answer. And I'm sure all of you can think of things that you prayed for. Sometimes you may have prayed fervently for something. Maybe sometimes you prayed perseveringly over a long period of time and you've not seen that thing answered. And so how do we deal with that? In some cases, actually cause us to become angry with God because we feel like that He has not fulfilled His promises, or we begin to question Him, or we begin to think that maybe prayer is not worthwhile after all because we can't see how God is actually hearing and answering our prayers. So, I wanted to start off by looking at some of the amazing things that God says about prayer that ought to encourage our hearts to pray confidently. Okay? So what we're about to read here is over and over, Scripture gives us promises that God hears the prayers of His children and gives us what we ask. Okay? So let's just listen as we read through these now. Okay? Matthew 7, 7 and 8.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Okay. Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Very clear. All right, James 1, 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
All right. Matthew 21, 22.
And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.
Mark 11, 24.
Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
John 14, 13.
Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Okay. John 15, 16.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, will give it to you.
All right. John 16, 23.
In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, will give it to you.
And then 1 John 5, 14.
And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Keep going and read the next verse.
He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him.
Okay. so before we move on to talk about unanswered prayer, I want these things to sink into us, okay? Because the Bible, as we've seen, says over and over and over again that we ought to ask of God and expect Him to respond, to hear, and then fulfill our requests. God apparently wants us to believe that. He wants us to know that. He wants us to be encouraged in our prayers by knowing that He hears and that He answers. That there is a connection between us speaking and God doing something. Okay? So be encouraged by that. Be strengthened in your faith. Be stirred up to pray. Because God wants us to know this. And yes, we're going to deal with these questions that immediately come to our minds about, well, wait a minute, I've been praying about this and I haven't seen the response that I thought I would see if God was really answering this prayer. Let's just begin by at least saying if God is trustworthy, if He's truthful, then He has given us these things to encourage us to pray. And so we ought to pray and pray with confidence. And we need to fight against the suspicion that God isn't powerful enough to answer our prayers. If we have questions, that's not the explanation. It's not that God's not powerful enough. And also we need to receive assurance that God is not a stingy, kind of reluctant God who doesn't really want to answer our prayers, but maybe if we keep pressing Him or twisting His arm or something, maybe He could be persuaded sometimes, occasionally, to give us what we ask for. That is not the way God is. That is not the way Scripture portrays God or the attitude that we ought to have in prayer. God is a perfectly good Heavenly Father. He knows what we need before we ask. He knows better than we do what we need. And so we should go to Him with great confidence that He is good and He finds joy in our prayers. And He finds delight in answering our prayers.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt you. I just heard someone say once that this was a really helpful thing for you to get that concept in mind. That we are not, in prayer, we are not trying to overcome some kind of divine reluctance in God for us and to us.
Absolutely. And yet, you know, we all know that, but there's this little voice in the back of our heads, at least in mine sometimes, that is saying that. And that's a voice we need to fight against, because that's a lie. Okay? So let's fight against that voice that may say something about God other than who He is and who He's revealed Himself to be. So now we get to this question about so-called unanswered prayer. Now, so I want to begin the question by saying, does God answer all of our prayers? Seems like it from all those statements. It seems like He does. And yet, if you were listening very carefully, you might have heard in some of those statements a few qualifications in there. And then we didn't read everything about prayer in the Bible, and so there's some other places in the Bible that give some further qualifications. And so we need to understand a bit about what those qualifications are. And the first one is this: God does not promise to answer prayer that is contrary to His Word. And we all know that. We can't expect God to answer a prayer that we ask Him for something that is contrary to what He's commanded us to do or to ask for. Jeremiah 7:16 gives us a very specific example. God had determined that He was going to bring judgment on the people. And He says this: "As for you, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with Me, for I will not hear you." Okay? So that's pretty specific. Now, there's not very often that we're told that specifically, don't pray about something. But God says here, there are some limits to My answering of prayer. In this particular case, I've already made up my mind what I'm going to do here, and it doesn't matter how much you pray, you might as well not do it, because I am not going to listen to that. Okay?
So there are some cases when God has made His will very clear that we simply may not pray about those things. And then on the positive side, we have instruction in Scripture about what we should pray for. There are some lines, some channels along which our prayers ought to run. And Jesus was very clear on that when He gave the instruction to the disciples to pray in this way, remember, in the Lord's Prayer. He said that we should be praying that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we should pray for our daily bread. We should pray pray for forgiveness in the context in which we are willing to forgive others. There are several things in there that He says to pray about. So there are some certain things that we ought to be praying for, and that would imply then that there are certain things that are kind of out of bounds. They aren't things that Jesus instructed us to pray about. So we shouldn't expect God to act contrary to His own revealed instructions for prayer. Okay, so that's the first thing. God doesn't promise to answer prayer that's contrary to His Word. But when we look at even the passages that we already read, we see that there are some things that are qualifications, ways in which we ought to pray, particular things we ought to ask for and so forth, that provide some boundaries on those promises. Okay, so one of those is, we read in John 14:13, He says, "Whatever you ask in My name," that's a qualification on answered prayer. So prayer must be in Jesus' name. And we didn't read this, but in Jude 20 it says, prayer, we are to pray in the Holy Spirit. So prayer must be in Jesus' name and in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, first of all, just like Paul said, in the sermon this morning, you don't try to live the Christian life without having Jesus at the beginning. You can't get started, and you certainly can't finish without Christ. And the same thing is true of prayer. We first of all have to be Christians. We have to belong to Christ in order to go to Him as our Father, to go to Him in a reconciled relationship. Otherwise, we have a broken relationship with Christ and the Father. We are estranged from Him. We are enemies of His. So you must be in Christ to go to the Father to ask of Him. So to pray in Jesus' name, first of all, means going in Christ, trusting in Christ, belonging to Christ. But it also means going with the idea that I'm praying according to Christ's plans and purposes. I'm not praying contrary to or without that in mind. I'm praying according to Christ's plans and purposes, and with His name upon me. But then we're also to pray in the Holy Spirit. And in many ways, that's the same thing, because if we belong to Christ, then we have the Spirit. Okay? And if we have the Spirit, then we are able to pray in the Spirit. So we pray with the Spirit empowering us. We pray because of the Spirit's work in us, we are able, according to Romans, to pray, Abba, Father. We are enabled to call on God as a Father. He's not just a king. He's not just a judge. But to us, He is a Father. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to call on Him and trust Him as a Father. Okay. So then, that's another thing. If we're not praying in Jesus' name or in the power of the Spirit, then God may not hear us. Now, God is sovereign. He can hear whatever prayers He wants to hear. But these are things that we're responsible for. Another thing is that prayer is hindered by sin that is not repented of. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. In Psalm 68:18, it says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Okay, it's pretty simple. If you go to the Lord, but you're loving your sin more than you're loving God, God has no particular obligation to hear you. Okay? And let me just press this a little bit, because so often I think our presumption is that somehow we can be holding on to this sin over here and then taking advantage of the fact that we have a, you know, a direct line to God over here. And it just doesn't work that way. Either we are loving and trusting the Lord more, or we're loving and trusting our sin more. And if you think about it, they could anything be more foolish than that? To love a sin so much that we're willing to allow it to shut the door on having God's ear. It doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet we can all attest to times when we've done that. But which would you rather have? Would you rather have this pet sin, this thing that promises things that lies to you all the time, doesn't deliver what it promises, or to have the ear of our Heavenly Father who has promised that everything that He does for us is for our good, and He's wise enough to know how to make it happen? Which is better? So, let that be an encouragement to you to put aside sins that you're holding on to, that you're cherishing in your heart. He's not saying that we can't go to God if we're struggling with sin, okay? Or we can't go to God if we know that there's still some sin happening in our lives. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about someone who's unrepentant, someone who's unwilling to turn aside from their sin, who loves their sin more than they love God. That's the kind of attitude that is being addressed here. It's like a prince who turns to thievery instead of going to his father, the king, to ask for things. It makes no sense. Well, then another thing is that prayer is hindered by unbelief. And we see that hinted at in the passages that we already read. It says that if you'll get what you ask for in prayer if you have faith and if you believe, and things like that. Let me mention a couple of other passages. The verse right after James 1:5, the second one we read in verse 6, says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that's not saying that if you're struggling with some doubt, that therefore God refuses to hear you. There's a difference between the person who is struggling with doubt and the person who just simply says, you know, I don't think God can answer prayer. God's not strong enough to answer prayer. God's not good enough to really care about me. There's a difference between allowing doubt to seep in and settle in and fighting against doubt in our hearts. Remember the man when Jesus said that he would heal his son if he believed, and he said, "I do believe, help my unbelief." That was a prayer he prayed. And what did Jesus do? Say, "No, I can tell that you're doubting. Leave, your son will not be healed." No, he didn't do that. He healed the man's son. So he was obviously struggling with some unbelief. And Jesus did not send him away because of his doubts. He actually removed them by answering his prayer. So don't let that passage cause you to descend into sort of a morbid self-doubt, but rather fight against that, trusting the Lord, and go to Him in prayer. Okay, another passage, Matthew 17:19. "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast this demon out?' And he said to them, 'Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" Now, let me take a little survey here. Has anybody ever been able to move a mountain by praying? You know, Stone Mountain used to be on the west side of Atlanta, and I prayed about it. And no, not really. Not really. So I don't know if you've wondered about that passage before, but, you know, part of what this goes back to is, has God instructed us to pray for a mountain to be moved into the sea? Because if He had, then we ought to be able to pray confidently and see it happen, right? But Jesus has not said, it is my will for you that you pray that mountains literally be moved into the sea. So if he had, then we would be able to pray confidently about that. But we don't have any grounds for praying confidently about that particular thing. Okay, he's using kind of a, you know, vivid illustration, but he didn't literally mean that you ought to be praying about mountains moving.
Huh? Standing in that light of an illustration, are we in this life even able to recognize true spiritual mountain moving? When a lost person comes to know Christ, that an earthquake, we think of that as a natural event.
Spiritually moved mountains. Yeah, that's right.
Most of us in our lives, I wonder if we understand what spiritual mountains God Himself moves part of.
Right. And we might say that was no big deal. Yeah. Right. That's a great point. That's a great point. I'm actually going to kind of touch on some aspect of that as we move on here, too. Another thing, then, is that prayer is hindered by evil or selfish motives. And James goes into some detail on that in James chapter 4. If you would turn with me to James chapter 4, and let's look at that for just a second. Because James gets right to the point here about unanswered prayer in this particular respect. James chapter 4, and starting in verse 1. He says, "What causes quarrels, and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." So James acknowledges that there are some times when we do ask, but we're asking wrongly and we don't get it. So all of Jesus' promises that we read through and the other promises in Scripture that we read, they don't mean that you can ask with any motive and get what you want. Okay? We have to ask with right heart motives. If we're motivated by evil or selfish motives, we cannot expect to get what we ask. Okay? So the answer to the first question, does God answer all prayer? The answer is no. There are certain stipulations, certain qualifications on prayer that have to be fulfilled for us to expect an answer. Otherwise, we are just praying presumptively. Okay? So now let's go on to the next question. Let's line all those things up. Let's say, does God answer all prayers that fulfill all those conditions? That is, that they're according to His revealed will. They're in Jesus' name and by His Spirit. We ask with a repentant heart. We've prayed in faith and with good motives. Now can we expect God to answer all prayer? Well, there's still, I think, one very important qualification. And this isn't so much, I think, it's not something we fulfill, but it's just simply something we have to recognize. And that is, in 1 John 5:14, we read that one out loud, the last one there. 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything," and there's this little phrase in there, "according to His will, He hears us." Now, I have wrestled with what that actually means, and it's not 100% clear as to which aspect of God's will it's talking about, but I think we can come to some conclusions on this if we just kind of reason through it. So we can think of God's will as being divided into two very different categories. One aspect of God's will is what we would call His, some people call it His revealed will, but what we're referring to there is His will of precept. It's the things that God tells us to do, the things He wants us to do. So it's His will that you obey Him. It's His will for you to pray. It's His will for you to worship Him. These are things that God has told us and that we're responsible to do. God's instructions for us, God's will of precept. But then there's what we might call God's secret will or His will of decree. His will of decree represents His sovereign plan. It represents His providence. The things that in God orchestrating all the details of this life, He makes those things happen. So these are not things that He has told us to do. They're simply the things that God orchestrates in His infinite wisdom. And those are two very different things. Because it's according to God's revealed will that I not say ugly things to my wife. But every once in a while, apparently, according to God's sovereign plan, that happens. I say something ugly to my wife. It doesn't please God in the sense that I didn't follow His will of precept. Okay? And yet, somehow, in God's ultimate wisdom, He has included that in His plan to accomplish whatever it is He's accomplishing. Okay? So it fulfills one, but not the other. And so I have a hard time seeing how this passage can be referring to God's will of precept. Because that does not guarantee that God will answer my prayer. I can pray, for example, and I've prayed like this, God, deliver me from all sin today. Like right now, I'm tired of sinning. Please deliver me from all sin. Okay, now that's according to God's revealed will, right? Because He said, don't sin. Okay, it would be pleasing to God if I didn't sin. And yet, didn't happen. I still sinned. Okay, it's not according to His decree or His sovereign will that happened right away. Now, ultimately, praise God, He will answer that prayer. But if I said, Lord, please do it today, even that is according to His revealed will, and yet He doesn't answer that prayer. Let's see, and I had a little note here that I can't read. I was in the passage where we were instructed to pray for kings and all those in authority, that we would live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. Okay, we are specifically instructed to pray that way. Does it always happen? Do all Christians always get to live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness? No, we don't. We are specifically instructed to pray that way, and yet God in His wisdom does not always choose to answer that prayer that way. Okay? So in His sovereign will, it doesn't fit His plan for us sometimes. Okay? So what I'm saying then is I believe that that there are times I can pray that God will deliver me from every sin today or whatever it might be, and it might be according to His revealed will. It might be in Jesus' name and by His Spirit. It might be with a repentant heart. It might be prayed in faith. It might be with good motives, and yet God has not and will not answer that prayer for His own wise reasons. So God may have wise plans that would be destroyed by our sincere but ignorant prayers. We just don't know. See all the things that are going on in God's plan, the way all this stuff is orchestrated together. So it's simply to say that God ultimately chooses whether our requests advance His good plans for us or not, because we're not wise enough to know in many cases what is the best for us. So we must pray. We pray according to His revealed will, but then we pray with a submissive heart, recognizing that all of our prayers are offered with this condition, that it must be according to God's will. Okay? So, in other words, I'm not trying to figure out what that is. Okay? I'm not instructed to somehow predict ahead whether it's God's sovereign will for me to be killed in a car accident as I pull out of the driveway this morning or this afternoon. But I can pray and then just trust God and wait and see what happens. Okay? I'll trust God's plan ultimately. And I think this is consistent with the way Jesus prayed. Remember in the garden, he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Okay? So this was not a prayer about the will, God's will of precept. It was a prayer about God's hidden, sovereign will, the way things were going to unfold. And he said, "God, I don't want to get outside of your wise plan for this whole thing. So I'm submitting my prayer to your wisdom in that and to your sovereignty in that." So ultimately, all of our prayers have to submit to that. So that means that there's no absolute guarantee about any given prayer unless God says, "If you pray this specific prayer, I will answer it in this specific way." And there aren't many cases where we have that level of specifics in Scripture to pray that way. So we pray confidently, but we pray humbly. Submissively. Okay? We can pray about lots of different things, but we recognize that we don't know God's plan until after we see it unfold. So, for example, we're praying for Brandon to be successful in getting a job. Some of us are praying that God would miraculously provide for another job here in Auburn rather than in Massachusetts. But we could be praying that he gets this specific job. Well, it is God's will for him to work. It would be a good thing for him to be able to provide for his family. There's lots of good things about that that suggest to our finite wisdom it's a good thing to pray for. So we can pray for those things confidently, but we also pray recognizing maybe God has another plan that I don't know about and I couldn't possibly know about and I'm not wise enough to see. So we pray humbly, recognizing God may have a better plan. Okay, so then when it comes to unanswered prayer, sometimes it's maybe not that it's not answered, okay? It may be simply that we can't understand or we can't see the answer in our own finite understanding. We may not be able to interpret God's answer to our prayer because His plan is so vast and so complex and so wise that it's above our ability to even see it. Okay? So keep that in mind. Sometimes God's answers to prayers are true. They're real answers to prayer, but just it's so involved in a way that we would never really be able to fully identify it. Okay, another type of unanswered prayer is really more like a postponed prayer. That is, that God may sometimes postpone answers to our prayer for various good purposes. He may want to discipline us for one reason or another, or maybe He's just teaching us a patient reliance on Him. You know, Jesus said that we're to live by not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. And He wasn't saying you don't need food. What he was saying is that our ultimate trust is rooted not in the food, but in the God who provides food. And God provides food in His own time and His own way. So we ultimately trust that. So God may postpone the answer in a way that's better for us because God is not just providing for our comfort here, but He's fitting us for the life to come. Remember that God has higher purposes than just comfort in this life. And then one other thing is that God knows, this is so encouraging to me, God knows how to answer our heart's desire better than we do. And sometimes the form of our prayer is not wise enough, and God takes that prayer and answers it in a wiser way than we even knew how to ask. Okay? So it may be sometimes that the answer to the prayer doesn't fit the specific details of our request. And you know, Jesus said that a good father, when his son asked for a for a fish, he doesn't give him a snake, right? Well, it's also true that a good father, if the son asked for a snake, he wouldn't give him a snake, he'd give him a fish, right? If he was foolish enough to ask for a snake, but he really wanted something to eat, probably a fish would be better. So he'd give him the fish, right? We've been dealing with car shopping lately, and Jackson calls me up and says, Dad, I can't get to campus anymore. Could you buy me a bicycle? And I'll say, okay, well, I'll think about that. And then I pull up, and I've got a car, and say, well, I got you a car instead. And he would go, Dad, I asked for a bicycle. Weren't you listening? You know, he wouldn't do that. He would say, well, that was an answer to my request, even better than what I thought to ask for. I will say he didn't ask for a bicycle. That would have been the humble request. Actually, you already have a bicycle. Okay, so I wanted to share this with you. This is something that S. Lewis Johnson shared in a series of talks on prayer, which I highly recommend, by the way. This was something that he had read in the Southern Presbyterian Journal. This was a long time ago. I don't think that journal even exists. But this, he said, a letter from a Southern Presbyterian missionary in Liberia, in Africa, appeared in this journal. And this is what he said. At this moment, I imagine I'm unique among your host of readers. Right now, the journal is my devotional, my commentary, my newspaper, my reading entertainment, all wrapped up into one. Except for the Bible, it is the only reading material available. Reason? I'm a Presbyterian U.S. minister serving as a missionary in Liberia deep in the bush, and last month our bamboo house burned to the ground. Along with everything else, our entire library was destroyed. But God says, I will not leave you desolate, and He didn't. In the very next mail, after the fire, came a large bundle with hundreds of back copies of the Presbyterian Journal, and in it is contained a lot of good scriptural material, the gift of a wonderful Presbyterian church in northern Mississippi. I know of a few good things that have come out of northern Mississippi. When I'm sitting in the back row. As I write this letter, I face an empty bookcase. All except the bottom shelf and thereon is contained God's provision. 5 nearly neatly tied bundles of journals, 52 a year, now acting as my devotional, my commentary, my newspaper, my reading entertainment, and very possibly my textbook. We have a college of evangelism here deep in the bush, and all our teaching materials vanished in the fire. Presbyterian journals might well be our textbooks for school year 1972. Reverend John Chinchin, Sino County, Liberia. And then he says, a month later, a letter from Mrs. M.G. Johnson from Indianola, Mississippi, wrote into the Southern Presbyterian Journal. May I add a postscript to the letter in the April 9th journal from Reverend John Chinchin, who wrote from the bush of Africa of his entire library by fire? He praised God for supplying the need for materials with the gift of hundreds of back issues of the Presbyterian Journal received in the first mail following the fire. Mr. Chinchin does not know that those packages were believed to be in use in Liberia when the notice was received that they were being held in customs for additional postage. We were extremely provoked after having tried to follow shipping instructions implicitly, but sent additional postage immediately. Following the fire, we realized that the Lord does indeed work in mysterious ways, for had they been delivered, they would have been in the fire. And that's just, we can all probably share stories like that in our own lives, where God has answered prayers in ways that were different from what we prayed, but better than what we prayed. And maybe at the time we were frustrated by the what seemed to be the lack of an answer to prayer, not realizing that God knew what was going on better than we did. He knew what His plans were better than we did. He knew how to bless us better than we know how to bless ourselves. So let me just end by saying this, that God is not a giant candy machine that if you know how to put the money in and pull the right levers, that the candy drops out that you wanted. It doesn't work that way. And so we know that, but so often that's the way we slip into thinking, especially when we've got candy on our minds, right? That's what we begin to think. But that's not God. God is He is a person. He is an infinitely wise and good Heavenly Father. And that's who we're going to when we pray. We should pray as the Scripture calls us to. God has given us great encouragements to pray. And He wasn't saying all this stuff here, Jesus and the Apostle John, they were not saying all this stuff, and James, they weren't saying all this stuff just to fill up some, you know, they had a quota of words to put in their manuscript. They were saying this to encourage us to pray and to believe that God hears our prayers and He takes them seriously and He answers our prayers. So we should pray, and we should pray with great confidence. But we should also pray with great humility, knowing who we're going to. We're going to a God that knows infinitely more than we do and is far more committed to our good than we are ourselves. So let that be an encouragement to you. And let me just close with Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, any questions or comments?
Okay. I said that the back to 1 John 5:14, it seems like really that kind of goes right along with what you were saying, like Jane might have said, and this is the confidence that we have for you, that if we ask anything according to will, He hears it. Is that really saying that we need to ask according to His will, which is commanded, but He only hears it, He may or may not understand it?
I think that, you know, in other places, it says that if God hears our prayers, then we have what we ask for. So I think hearing means receiving in the sense of He's going to respond to it. But I think that it is qualified by just saying that it has to be according to His will. It has to fit into His purposes, is the way I'm reading it.
Darryl mentioned this, and I think the answer is yes, but I think we're necessarily equipped spiritually, intellectually, any other way to figure that out.
Right.
Again, God's plan is so mysterious. Brenda was looking, that's my wife, she teaches the preschool, and she read me something last night which was amazing for me to think. How many years before Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree did God see and, you know, it's just the thought that everything in God's plan works out the way He, as you said, in His decree. And I don't think we are to pray, but I don't think we necessarily pray with the idea that we're not going to change His mind or change His plan, but we're commanded to pray, and it's good for us spiritually to demonstrate our dependence.
Right. And it's in God's mercy that sometimes He does allow us to see very specific answers to prayer, but in many cases we don't. But we can trust that God has heard and He's responding wisely and good to those things. So. All right, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, our hearts need to be encouraged. So often we don't have the confidence in You that we ought to. We question, we second guess, we think we're wiser than You are. And I ask, Father, that You would help us by Your Spirit to put aside those foolish thoughts and the heart of unbelief that we so often manifest. And I ask, Father, that You would grant to us the grace and help to go boldly to the throne of grace and ask and knock, just as we're instructed to in Scripture, and to do so with confidence, believing that You hear our prayers and that You will answer them according to Your will. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive.